Today I will talk about computing Hodge integrals with the one lambda class. So let me first define what is Hodge integral. Yes. So let M bar GN denote the, as usual, Dulin Mumford moduli stack of stable curves, and each curve has is of genus G with a fixed N marked point. I mean, marked point is free to move over the curve, but number of the marked point is fixed. And we can think of a universal curve pi, which is from M bar GN plus 1 to M bar GN, which is basically forgetting map, which forgets the data of N plus 1's marked point. And let omega denote the dualizing shift. Then we can think of naturally the sections of this map, forgetting map pi, which corresponds to the ith marked point of the M bar GN plus 1. So in that case, we can think of two natural classes on this moduli space of stable curves. The first one is psi classes, which is defined to be first Chern class of the pullback of dualizing shift by this section xi. But essentially, at each fiber, this is nothing but the cotangent bundle at the ith marked point. So remember, M bar GN is a moduli space of curves. So each point is a curve, and each curve has a n marked point. So we can naturally think of a cotangent line bundle of the marked point. And the second natural class is the Hodge lambda classes, or called the Hodge classes. So we can think of E, which is a push forward by the projection map of the dualizing shift. And this will become, this is called the Hodge bundle, and it's a vector bundle of rank G. In case C is a smooth curve, smooth regular curve, then you can think of it as a holomorphic one-forms, and if C has a genus G, then there are G of them, so it will be a vector space of genus G. But when C is not singular, you can generalize to the Hodge bundle using the dualizing shift, and it still satisfies the property that is a vector bundle of rank G. Okay. So now Hodge integral is defined to be an integral of the form, integration over the moduli space with any type of psi classes and Hodge classes. So the reason why you study Hodge integral is that Hodge integrals arise naturally during the computation of a Gronow-Witten invariance by a localization technique. Okay. So today, the goal of my talk is to obtain certain recursion relations between Hodge integrals, more precisely Hodge integrals with any type of psi classes and only one lambda class with a power one. Okay. And as a corollary of the recursion relation, I will develop an algorithm to compute all Hodge integrals with up to one lambda class. So here's a big picture of how I'll do. So this is roughly a statement of the recursion formula that I will develop today. Here, big pi's, I will define it later. This is a generating function of double Hoyt numbers. And this D script D dot is this is where the Hodge integrals will, information on Hodge integrals will come into the formula. So this type, this formula will be obtained by the applying localization formula to the moduli space of relative morphisms, and it results in a convolution type formula. This is basically because I'll talk about it later, but you can think of a moduli space of relative morphisms. And the fixed point of this space by a natural action, you can think of, you can associate it with the graphs. And this side will correspond to Hodge integrals, and the other side will correspond to the double Hoyt numbers, and precisely they admit decomposition into a product of a zero side contribution and infinite side contribution. That's the idea of this recursion formula. And as an application, so any given half integral over any given psi type with one lambda class will be expressed as a polynomial in terms of lower dimensional half integrals with one lambda class. And here by lower dimensional, I mean either half integrals involve, show up in this polynomial have a lesser genus or less number of marked points. And I'll finish my talk with some examples of how this algorithm works. So let me first state the recursion formula more rigorously. Okay. So for any given partition mu and e, here mu doesn't allow zero as a part, so all the parts of mu should be positive integer, but e allows a zero as its part, and it can even be empty partition. And I impose one condition on the size of E should be bounded by size of mu plus length of mu minus the chi, where chi is the prescribed Euler characteristic of the half integral I will compute. And here, E is precisely the power type of the psi classes. That's why E can be empty. And chi, I will write 2 minus 2g, which is the Euler characteristic of a connected case. Okay. So, and here this bracket sign means take the coefficient of lambda to the power l mu minus chi in the following expression. So the idea of proof is that I will apply virtual localization formula over the moduli space of relative monomorphisms. And using this special class, the reason why I chose this class is that I can prescribe values of the hyperplane class to be 0 at the 0 and u at the infinity, where u is the formal parameter of the equivalent localization. By prescribing these values for this class, localization formula gives me so localization formula expands the integration by the summation over fixed components, but because of this special value, I don't have to look at all the fixed components. All I have to look at is where all the extra marked points is concentrated on the zero side. Therefore, there's no marked point except the branching point on the infinite side, which will allow me to relate the contribution from the infinity side to the double Hoyt numbers. You'll see what I'm talking about in a little bit. Okay. Oh, G sub nu is for a partition nu. G sub nu is multiplication of all the parts. Yes, just times the automorphism of the nu. It's just a number, yes. So let me first define moduli space of relative morphisms. So by the conservative idea, we can degenerate the domain curves, and we can also degenerate the target curve. Instead of just one P1, we can patch many P1s and call it P1M. So for any non-negative integer M, let P1M be a chain of M plus 1 copies of P1, where each PI is glued to the next P1 by a certain point, and call the first component of P1 root component and the rest of them bubble components. Then the moduli space of relative morphisms can be defined to be a set of maps from a curve which is possibly disconnected pre-stable curve with a fixed Euler characteristic and a fixed number of marked points. To the target is P1M and it's relative to the infinity point of the last component. And this mu new in the definition of a relative moduli space. This, it means the ramification type at the infinity. Precisely, in free image of the, this last infinity point should be expressible as a mu I xi as a Cartier divisor. And of course, degree of the map should match up to the size of the mu. And there's a regularity condition that free image of each node in P1M must consist of nodes of C with the same contact order. By same contact order means the degree of this rotation here should be the same as the degree of rotation on the right side. Okay. And there's also a stability condition. It requires the automorphism group of F. It should be finite. Okay. So it is known that this relative stable moduli is a separated proper delineation for stack, and it admits a perfect obstruction theory of a virtual dimension given by minus chi plus size of mu plus L mu plus n, which is simple application of Riemann-Roch theorem. And it has a virtual fundamental class of degree R. Now, we can introduce a circle action on this relative stable moduli by looking at the natural C star action on the target P1 and just induce the same action on the relative moduli space by moving the target, because relative moduli space are all the maps that are going from a curve to the target P1. We can move the target, then it will induce action on the moduli space. So since this moduli space is equipped with the circle action, we now can apply a localization formula to any equivalent class omega. And the localization formula says the integration over omega over this relative moduli space will be the summation of the contributions from all fixed components. And here, the notation n f gamma virtual is the virtual normal bundle of a fixed component in this relative moduli space. So now the question is what is the fixed locus of this natural action on the moduli space? So it turns out that we can assign graphs on each fixed component of this action on the relative moduli space. So precisely, for each fixed locus, define a graph gamma as follows. So we look at the connected components of a pre-image of the map at the 0 and infinity. For each connected component of the pre-image of 0 and infinity, we assign a vertex. If it's mapped to the 0, then it will be on the 0 side. If it's mapped to infinity, it will be on the infinity side. And each rational irreducible component, we assign an edge. So graph will be a combination of vertex and edges. And we have additional information on the vertex. Each vertex also comes with the information saying the genus of the component contracted to V, and the mu V is a partition determined by edges attached to V. By this, what I mean is that, so for example, in this graph, I had a degree 2, 2, 1, then nu over V, 1, 0, and say degree 3 here. This is a partition 3, 2, 2, 1. And in case M is a positive number and V is on the infinity side, we have additional information. It's another partition mu. So when M is zero, all the graph looks like a simple graph like this. When M is bigger than zero, graph visually will look like this, but actually they have additional information on the infinity side, which can even split. And mu is precisely the ramification type at the infinity part. So now we define the graph, fixed graph for each fixed component of this action. We can define the moduli space of the fixed graph. On the zero side, it's very simple. It can be defined just as a product of the regular moduli space for each vertex on the zero side. On the infinity side, you can think of it as a, so infinity side, there's a two partition, nu and mu. So we'll have a two partition moduli space instead of one partition moduli space. So the moduli space of relative modification that I just defined is one partition moduli space, but inside it, I can decompose it into two partition moduli space convoluted with just regular moduli spaces. And with this setting, we can find the automorphism, order of the automorphism group over any graph as follows. So this vector comes from the rotating the edges, and this vector is coming from, so each zero side vertex have a genus and the partition as its data. So we can, any automorphism which rotates the edges attached to each vertex will be a contributor to the automorphism group. And here MK is a, you find the identical vertices on zero side and we can switch them together. So that's why we have a MK factorial here. And when M is bigger than zero, we can find the order of this automorphism group gamma to be, so zero side will come as usual, but infinity side we have another information from mu. So that will come into play here. Also, we can count the identical vertices on infinity side and get a contribution from those identical vertices. Any questions so far? Okay. So with this notation, we can express the integration of omega by the localization formula to be a contribution from each fixed component. And since we made a corresponding fixed graph for each fixed component, we can integrate over the moduli space of fixed graph, but now we have to divide by the covering factor. So now question is, we know how we need to find out we need to find out all fixed graphs, and we need to know how to compute this equivalent normal bundle. But finding the each all fixed graph is pretty straightforward, because all you have to do is just run over all partitions nu, which has the same size as mu, and there can be at most L nu vertices on zero side. On infinity side, there can be at most minimum of L mu, length of mu, and length of mu vertices on the infinity side. So it amounts to finding all the groupings. For example, if nu was 2, 1, 1, when there's only one vertex, they all have to be concentrated on the one vertex. If M is 2, there's a grouping, say I can group 2 and 1 together and 1, or I can group 2 and 1, 1. Keep going. And I can do the same process on the infinity side also. And another information is the genus, and they are all acting independently, so I can distribute all the genus over each vertex and find all fixed graphs. Now, quickly, let me quickly go over computation of Euler class of a normal bundle. So, Euler class of a normal bundle can be realized as a ratio between tangent bundle and Euler class of obstruction bundle. And the information on the tangent bundle and the obstruction bundle can be obtained by two exact sequences. The first one gives information on the moving the point on the domain side, and the second one gives information of moving the point in the target side. So here, the ratio of tangent space and obstruction space will be expressed as the ratio between x to group 0, x first x group, and the h0 over d script d, h1 of script d. But the ratio between h0 and h1 of script d will be also be available in the second long exact sequence. So we can substitute this guy with the ratio of this guy, and all other groups are computable. So that's the idea of how to compute the equivalent normal bundle. So basically, the circle action on the relative stable moduli and the target P1 induces the circle action on the following groups, which were the precisely those groups in the long exact sequence, this guy and these guys. So now the computation becomes you just keep counting the weights of the representation of the circle action on each of these groups, and you will find out so I mean it doesn't really matter. So computation on each group is given by this. And just one thing I want to point out here is that these are four type of vertices. So one, these three guys correspond to the unstable vertices. By unstable means 3g minus 3 plus n is negative. That's simply because of the domain curve will admit an infinitesimal automorphism in that case. And so first unstable case is genus is zero and there's only one marked point. Second 2-1 case is there's two marked points in genus 0, but those two marked points are all branch points. 2-2 case is there's two marked points, but one of them is branch point and the other is extra marked point. This will matter later, so that's why I'm pointing out here. And S means it's a stable case. And stable case is where there will be a cycless contribution. Okay. Let me skip this part. Let me just point out this part. So the ratio between H1 and H0 of target side will give me information of dual Hatch bundle. And dual Hatch bundle is where I will get the contribution from lambda classes. Okay. So you can just combine all these contributions. And here, you can see this guy exactly repeats here. And this is the fixed graph of a type 0, which means M is 0. And this is fixed graph of type M, where M is bigger than 0. So that means 0 side contribution is same on both case. But on when M is bigger than 0, there's another contribution coming from the infinity side. And this is the link that I can connect the integration of Hatch integral, connect the Hatch integrals into a double Hoyt numbers. Okay, so this one. Oops, I don't have time. let me quickly go over this. So what matters is here, before I had bubbling on only one side. Here I allow bubbling on the both sides. And you can follow the same step as before. And the crucial observation is that we have a branch morphism which sends from this two partition moduli space into symmetric group of P1. And double Hoyt numbers can be expressed as a integration of a pullback of a hyperplane classes by this branching morphism. Just because of this space, by definition, prescribe the ramification type on 0 and infinity. That's double Hoyt number. And the remaining degree of freedom is exactly given by R, which is minus chi plus the length of both partition on 0 and infinity. Okay. And let me just quickly show you the final result. So double Hurwitz numbers can be linked to this Hodge integral on the double partition, two partition moduli space. And remember, m bar gamma was defined to be m bar gamma on the zero side and infinity side. And this infinity side moduli space is essentially same as this two partition moduli space, except the automorphism factor, I mean the multiplicity factor, and which is precisely given by this guy. So basically I can convert double Hurwitz numbers into the integration on the infinity side. That's the link. Okay, so this is the final computation. So the first line was given by a localization formula applied to the moduli space of relative stable morphisms, and just plugging in the contributions of a normal bundle we just computed, I find these values. And on the zero side, there's only Hodge integral contribution. On the infinity side, there's a Hodge integral contribution as well as the double Hurwitz number contribution. And this zero side contribution, Hodge integral contribution, is exactly the term where you expand the notation. So notation is that the script D is defined to be the Hodge integral contributions, and script D dot is just taking exponential of this script D. So in this computation, these guys just match the coefficient, the multiplicative factor in the exponential expansion of the Hodge integral. So we obtain this formula. This is zero side contribution. This is contribution from all other fixed graphs. But there's an initial value condition on the double Hurwitz numbers, which says double Hurwitz number for genus 0 and partition mu nu is 1 over g mu. G mu is the one I just defined, just product of parts of mu and size of automorphism group of mu. Then I can absorb this special term into the general term. Then that will give me the recursion relation. I don't have time, so let me skip a little bit and go over the corollary. Okay, so now I obtained this recursion relation, and as an application, it is enough to look at the cases where mu has only one part to compute all Hodge integral of with up to one lambda class. And the idea is follows. Obviously, I will choose Euler characteristic to be 2 minus 2g, and take partition E to be the power type of psi except one power. Then for any d which satisfies this condition, this was the condition imposed by a recursion relation, I will get a recursion relation which gives a linear relation between the Hodge integrals of the top dimension. So here, by prescribing the special values, chi equals 2 minus 2g, and e to be k1 through kn minus 1, the recursion relation will give me a linear relation between the top Hodge integrals. By top Hodge integrals, I mean dimension is same as 3g minus 3%, and all other terms will be a lower dimensional, which is either genus is strictly less than G or number of marked points is strictly less than N. Yes. Yes. This one? Yes. Yes, this is actually exponential, and that's why I can collect the Hodge integrals. Yes. Two lambda class, because this one lambda class came from the computation of a normal bundle, Euler class of the normal bundle, and all the others was the all the other contribution was the psi classes. So that was the only contribution, and there can be no other lambda class.
From the actual theorem that you proved that that's the case, that the regression just that all your equations just involve single Hodge integrals, or do you need to go back?
It is clear from this expression, because this d, which is exponential of d, will be just the product of Hodge integrals, and every one of them can have at most one lambda class.
Oh,
okay. So, yes. Yes, there's only one lambda class. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm totally lost. Are you okay? I mean. Okay. So. Yes, by prescribing these special values just to compute this Hodge integral, recursion relation will reduce to linear relation between Hodge integrals with the same dimension, and the number of those Hodge integrals which will show up in the recursion relation is bounded by a number of partitions of the dimension, which is, more importantly, that's independent of this degree d. So there's infinitely many linear relation which gives a relation between Hodge integrals of a certain dimension. Let me quickly pass it. And the coefficients of those top Hodge integrals is given by this. And you can show, so for each fixed d, we have a linear relation where each coefficient is given by this guy, and you can show that as a limiting shape, this d to the power l nu minus 2 is dominating term, and the limiting shape of this matrix will be a Van der Moen type matrix. So that means we can always choose some number d which will give enough linear relations to solve a Hodge integral of a certain dimension. Yeah, I mean, the top dimension is linear, but the lower dimension is not linear, yes. And that's why I say in the statement, it's expressed as a polynomial. Yes. So, let me quickly go over some examples. It'll make it more clear. Okay. So, the first case is dimension 1. There's only two Hodge integrals of dimension 1, psi 1 and lambda 1. I mean, I'm not thinking about the genus 0 and some marked point case. Yeah. Okay, so of course here, as the algorithm tell me to do, I'll put Euler characteristic to be 0 and E to be an empty partition. So degree 1 case, there's only one partition of size 1, and we can split. So splitting of chi 0 and chi infinity is just a splitting of how to distribute the genus over the curve. There are two cases where genus is on the zero side, or genus is on the infinity side. When genus is on the zero side, it'll give me this term only. It doesn't matter what other term is there, because there's only one contribution. So it'll give me this term, which is minus over integration lambda 1 plus integration of psi 1. On the other case, where genus is concentrated on the infinity side, this case, double which number is zero, because there's no simple curve of genus 1 over p1. So it gives me a relation that integration of lambda 1 is actually equal to the integration of psi 1 in the moduli space of m bar 1, 1. So we need another relation to compute So next next possible number D is 2, and there's two partitions of size 2, which is 2 and 1, 1. And when the partition is 2, we also have two possible cases of genus distribution. First case, where genus is on the 0 side, I'll get a contribution, say, minus 2 times lambda 1 plus 4 times psi 1. The second case, I'll get a contribution just scalar 1 over 4. And when the partition is 1, 1, there are three fixed graph types. First is this type where two edges is concentrated on the one vertex and there's no genus contribution. It will give me contribution minus 1 over 4. And the second type is there are two vertex on the 0 side, which is genus 0 and genus 1, and there's no genus on the infinity side. It will give me term lambda 1 minus psi 1. And the last graph is there's no genus on the 0 side and there's one genus on the infinity side. It will give me term minus 1 over 12. And here, you need to be a little bit careful because the graph admits a symmetry between the vertices, so, which is 1 over 2 here. So you sum up all these contributions from all fixed graph, I obtain a relation, say, minus over integration of lambda 1 plus 3 times psi 1 is actually 1 over 12. Combining with the previous relation, I get these values. So this one, integration of psi 1 is 1 over 24, is actually the exceptional case contribution of Witten's original paper. And the second one matches with the lambda G formula. So we can keep going. On dimension 2, there's five Hodge integrals, and each can be computed in a similar manner. I'm not going to go over it. In dimension 3, there's eight Hodge integrals with dimension 3, and this can also be done in a similar way. The last example I want to compute is the case dimension 4. I want to compute Hodge integral over psi square and lambda 2 over m bar 2 1 and psi cube of lambda 1 over m bar 2 1 and psi cube psi to the fourth over m bar 2 1. You can guess this, they have to come in a group because they are just differing by the partition of the given given dimension. Okay, so from the degree condition, when I know that D from D 1 to 3 will give me a valid relations, and it's not hard to make a program to generate all the relations. These are the relations that I got from degree 1, 2, and 3 respectively. So as predicted by the corollary, top dimensional terms are all linear, and the others can have a square or a cube. But since by induction step, I can always get the values of the lower dimensional ones, and if I substitute those values, I get three linear relations between these three Hodge integrals, and as you can see, the coefficients of each Hodge integral grow in a van der Moen type. So if you solve this linear equation, then you get these three values. And this matches with the previously known computations. First one matches with the lambda G formula. Lambda G formula says that when there's one marked point, the integration of Hodge integral with the top lambda class have a closed formula, which is the combination number of a psi power type and in terms of a Bernoulli number. And in this case, we know the first few values of Bernoulli number, and we can compute it, which is matching with the values I got. And the second one . So there's another formula which can compute I made a mistake. Lambda's formula doesn't restrict marked points to be 1. Okay, there can be any number of marked points. But this formula restricts the marked point. There should be only one marked point. And in this case, the integration against the lambda g minus 1 also has a closed formula where small bg is defined in terms of Bernoulli numbers. And I can check in this case to give the same answer. And the last one also gives the correct answer, which is previously computed by Etikson and Juber by relating tau function for the KdV equation into this generating function f. And they claim fg is equal to the Hodge integral expansion. And I can check they match together. And yes, I think I should stop here.